over at bangthebook.com. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information, rolling out those bowl game previews for you. A lot of good stuff there with those. Also, daily NHL, NBA, college basketball stuff. Plenty of weekly NFL content. Huge UFC card this weekend. UFC 245 with three championship matchups. Got a preview up for that event over at the website as well. Make sure you head on over to our Bang the Book YouTube page. Check out some of our free pick videos. None for me this week. I've been dealing with some other stuff during the afternoons, but we'll get back to those next week, taking a look at some of the bowl matchups. But Brian Blessing with some NFL free pick videos for us over there for this week. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook, BTB, and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. All right, like I said, it is week 15 here in the Super Contest. Give you my thoughts, my picks, my leans for this week. You're only 15 picks left to go in the Super Contest. A 2-2-1 week last week for me, so right down the middle. Now 34-34-2 for the season. So again, hovering right there around the 500 mark. Our other entry, our bangthebook.com entry, going 4-1, now 35-33-2 on the season. Picked up a two-game swing in that dinner bet as well. We were opposite in both contests on the Titans and Raiders game. Close game midway through the third quarter, but Tennessee pulls away, gets the two-game swing for the .com and the bangthebook.com dash one entry. So now our dinner bet sitting there at 6-4 with 3 weeks left to play. Strong week in week 14 for the Super Contest, 56.63%, now 49.54% for the season. Consensus came in last week at 9-5-2. Top five consensus comes in at 4-1. So a very big week for the Super Contest field. I believe that was the third highest win rate of the season in the Super Contest. So good time for that for a lot of people out there that are trying to get into the money. Tuco and Crisper tied for the lead right now with 48 points. After last week, the consensus sitting at 91-107-6. Top five consensus, though, 36-32-2. Been a pretty good NFL season for public bettors. As we talked about on Thursday's edition of Bang the Book Radio, pretty good college football season for public bettors as well. So very interesting to see that, especially with so many states, now getting on board with sports betting. Over in the Super Contest, gold, 53.05% last week, 50.51% for the season. Consensus comes in at 9-4-2. Top five consensus going 3-2 in last week's action there in the gold. Consensus now 98-92-4. The top five, including some ties for fourth and fifth most selected sides of the week, 36-35-3. And as I mentioned here, the mini contest starts this week. 3 week sprint, 15,000 on the line, likely to be split multiple ways there with that. So we'll see how many people wind up going 14-1 or 13-2-1, whatever it winds up taking here to take down that prize in the mini contest. Could be 15-0. Who knows? With a very big field, a record field over in the Super Contest. Finally, right now, and this is always interesting, you know, because it's $1,500 to get into the Super Contest. It's $5,000 to get into the Super Contest gold. Traditional Super Contest pays the top 100 plus ties. The Super Contest gold is winner take all. Unless, of course, you've got two people that tie for the win or multiple people, they would wind up splitting the prize pool there. But what's really interesting here is that the cutoff for the money, the top 100 spots in the traditional Super Contest, is 42 points. If you had 42 points in the Super Contest gold, you'd be in second place. So again, that's kind of the difference here is that, you know, top 100 plus ties gets paid in the traditional winner take all in the gold. But more often than not, you're going to have a much higher winning score in the traditional than you will in the gold. So some food for thought for people that do want to hop into these contests here for next season. You know, if you're trying to decide between the traditional or maybe going in on a group thing in the gold, again, you're probably going to need a higher win rate, a higher score to even cash in the traditional than you might need to win the Super Contest gold. Real quickly here, Circa Million, 54.04% last week, 50.38% for the season. My entry, 33-35-2 over in the Circa. The dash one entry, 37-30-3. Only the top 10 paid in that contest to go along with those quarterly prizes. Couple of entries belonging to the same person, 10-0 here in the fourth quarter over there in the Circa. Speaking of the Circa Million, one of the things I like to do each week on this segment here is roll through the line differences between the two contests, because these are always very interesting. Westgate comes out Wednesday early evening. Circa comes out Thursday late morning. And we do get, you know, a lot of line differences here between these two contests. And what was kind of ironic is that last week we only had three of them, largely around numbers of no consequence. But we did have that Browns-Bengals game where it was 8.5 in the Super Contest, 7.5 in the Circa Million. Game, of course, falls on 8. So those that took the Bengals in the Super Contest won. Those that took the Browns in the Circa Million won. So we have seen that play out a few times here over the course of the season. Several line differences here for this week. Recording this on Thursday evening for the Friday show, as you know. But there was a line difference in the Jets-Ravens game. Ravens minus 15 in the Super Contest, minus 16.5 in the Circa. Probably not going to matter. Game's probably not going to fall 16, but still an interesting difference there in that one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, minus 3 in the Super Contest, minus 3.5 in the Circa. And this one's particularly interesting because you've got a questionable status on Jameis Winston, who's dealing with a thumb injury. The picture may be getting a little bit clearer from Wednesday into Thursday morning. So maybe some more interest in Tampa Bay, maybe just the Circa trying to peg what this closing line is going to be. So we see the Super Contest at minus 3, the Circa Million minus 3.5 on Tampa Bay. We take a look here at the Packers. That's an interesting one. Packers minus 4 in the Super Contest, 4.5 over in the Circa Million. Seahawks minus 6.5 in the Super Contest, minus 6 in the Circa. The Chiefs minus 9 in the Super Contest, 9.5 in the Circa. This one's the one that stands out the most to me. And this is one that we kind of talked about a little bit with Wes Reynolds in terms of, you know, in the Super Contest, they try to sort of predict what the closing line could be and maybe shade towards that with their contest lines. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are minus 2.5 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa Million. So from what it looks like here, the expectation from Jay Cornegay and the staff over at the Westgate, that line was going to take some sharp money from the Steelers. Thus far, we haven't seen it. So Circa comes out at 1.5, which was the predominant market number when they put up their contest lines. Super Contest at 2.5, even though the market's never really gotten there. So that was kind of an interesting one to me. Again, we've seen a lot of sharp money against Buffalo here this season, because a lot of people just don't really believe in the Bills, in the body of work, in the strength of schedule that they've played so far. So that'll be an interesting one to watch in the betting markets. Not as interesting to watch in these two contests because it is still below the key number of 3. But that did stand out a little bit to me that the Steelers minus 2.5 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa Million. Los Angeles Rams minus 1 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa Million. As that line just continues to be a runaway train with a lot of Rams money, both sharp and public, coming in against the Cowboys in that one. And then finally, Monday Night Football, the Saints, minus 8 in the Super Contest, minus 8.5 in the Circa Million. So I believe, and I don't know this for sure, but I believe that 8 games here is the most that we've seen with line differences between the two contests over the course of the season. And again, with all 16 games in play now, with no bye weeks or anything like that, half of the games with a different line in the Super Contest than over in the Circa Million. Not a lot of key numbers. The Bucs coming off of 3, Packers coming off of 4, Seahawks around 6 there. Not a lot of key numbers, but still very interesting to say the least with some of these line differences that we have here for this week. Again, I will remind you here, recording this Thursday evening Eastern time. So my opinions can change on these games. Don't have to have my picks out to the proxy until Saturday morning. So some things can very much change here based on injury reports, some of the things that happened in the line movements, stuff like that. But as of now, a list of very likely picks for you and also a handful of leans for this Week 15 card. So we start with the very likely picks here. And as usual, going by the Super Contest rotation order, beginning with number 8, the Chicago Bears. Now, they are +4 in the Super Contest, +4.5 in the Circa Million. Like that 4.5 in the Circa, a lot more than the 4 for obvious reasons. But, you know, something I mentioned earlier on in the week here, the quarterly splits for the Packers. I want to clarify something here, that when I was looking at that stat over at profootballreference.com, that is average yards gained for the Packers. So it's not yards per play, just average yards gained in terms of what they do per quarter. And as I mentioned earlier on in the week, they're much better in the first quarter than they are in any other quarter. 14 touchdowns in the first quarter on offense, 8 in the second, 8 in the third, 7 in the fourth. So they do start out pretty well, but then kind of fizzle a little bit as the game goes along. So anytime they're laying any sort of number of consequence, something for you to keep in mind here. Look, 10.3 yards per pass attempt in the first quarter for the Packers. 5.6 in the second, 7.0 in the third, 7.3 in the fourth. So again, the Packers do start well, but they can't really sustain that clip over the course of the game. They wind up asking a lot of their defense in that regard. The Bears, very familiar with them. They already have that data point against Matt LaFleur and the Packers. Of course, that was back in week one, and the Packers were just a mess at that point in time offensively. But still, the Bears have more familiarity. They can, of course, see what some of their, you know, division rivals did defensively against Green Bay. So I do like that. I do like the familiarity, you know, maybe not as much with LaFleur, but certainly familiarity with that personnel for the Packers. Packers on the season, -0.4 in yards per play. The Bears, -0.3. Yeah, okay, you give Green Bay 3 points for home field advantage. That's fine. Frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, cold, getting to the stretch run of the playoffs. The full 3 is justified. The extra point or 1.5, I don't think that's justified at all. And I understand that the Bears, there is that low perception of them because Mitch Trubisky has really struggled in some spotlight games and things of that sort here so far. But again, I think this line is too high. I don't think that this game necessitates anything more than giving the Packers home field advantage, maybe 3.5, but 4.5 getting to be a little bit too high in this one, given the statistical body of work for both of these teams. The Bears defense playing very well of late. They are 10th in adjusted net yards per pass attempt allowed on defense, despite being 22nd in sacks and 25th in sack percentage. So they are in the top 10 in adjusted net yards per pass attempt allowed. Everybody else in the top 10 has more sack yardage than them. The Ravens are the closest with 33 sacks. Everybody else has 7 or more sacks than the Bears on the season. So what that says to me is that they're playing very good base coverage. Their corners and safeties are covering very well. Their linebackers are doing a good job. Yeah, and the loss of Roquan Smith is a problem, and he was playing very well for them. But still, I think this line is just a little bit too high for one of those division games in December. A lot of familiarity between these two teams. Packers, a little bit of an overachiever as far as their record goes. Give me the Bears here +4. Again, a very likely pick. They will definitely be a pick for me at 4.5 over in the Circa Million. Next up on the board here is number 26, the Atlanta Falcons. They are +10.5 against the San Francisco 49ers. And I've talked about this game multiple times on multiple shows here throughout the week. This is my favorite play of the week. You can score on that 49ers defense right now. They're just not as sharp as they were earlier on in the season. They're coming off of 9 or 10 days away from home. They gave a big effort in that Baltimore game, a huge effort, very physical game. I give them credit. They took care of their affairs in that game against the Saints. Now, of course, that's not the way that they probably wanted to win that game, 48-46, but they got the win. That was what they wanted. Now they go back home. They're back in first place. They've got the Rams and the Seahawks on deck for the division, for home field, for a bye, for a lot of different considerations here over the next 2 weeks. This is a win and get out game for the 49ers. I do not think that they are the least bit concerned about winning this game by margin. And they're going to have to win it by margin if they want to cover a 10.5 point spread. Give Atlanta credit. You know, we thought after the bye week, or we thought going into the bye week, that they would fire Dan Quinn. And they didn't. And then after the bye week, they come out, beat the Saints, play very well for a couple of weeks, did have a flat spot game mixed into the equation there, to then take care of their affairs last week. They're winning the games that they should, and that's important. They're not winning the games that they shouldn't, and they're probably not going to win this game. But I think they can definitely keep this one close because you've got, again, a 49ers defense kind of riding the struggle bus a little bit. And again, San Francisco, like I've talked about before, their bye week came in week four. They have two huge division games on deck. If there's going to be a flat spot for this team, it's this one. You know, last week I liked the matchup for the Saints. I thought the Saints were in a decent spot themselves, but that was a game that the 49ers are going to be up for. I knew that would be a competitive game. I just fell on the Saints side there. I think it's very hard to ask the 49ers to get up for this game, to play an inferior opponent and blow them out the way the line suggests that they should. I think that's a hard thing to do. Dan Quinn, very familiar with Kyle Shanahan from their time together in Atlanta. If the 49ers go in by double digits here, I'll pay to see it. I'll give them full marks. I'll give them their credit. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it here. So give me the Falcons plus 10.5, number 26 in the Super Contest rotation order over the San Francisco 49ers. Finally here, one more on the very likely pick side. Number 29, the Minnesota Vikings. They are minus 2.5 against the Los Angeles Chargers. And I like Minnesota here this week. You know, they're going cross country, but there's no home field advantage for the Chargers. You know, they're playing in a converted soccer stadium. There's no home field advantage for them. They play better on the road. They probably feel a lot more comfortable on the road. Not a bad idea to escape Minnesota when it's very cold outside. Of course, I was there last week and I had a good time, but they're not a bad idea to get out of there in December. Probably be a lot of Vikings fans making the trip out to LAX here for this one. I'll say this. The Chargers are better than their record. When you look at yards per play differential, these two teams are actually equal on the season. Minnesota has a much better record. The Chargers are better than their record. So that does give me a little bit of reason for concern here. That being said, I still think this line is a little bit light. This should be Vikings minus 3.5 in my estimation. It's only 2.5. Adam Thielen nearing a return. The Vikings need this game a lot more. You know, the Chargers, it's great to win games. It's great to have these feel-good moments. Obviously, you're still trying to win games unless you're tanking for draft position. But the Vikings have a lot more incentive here. And Kirk Cousins really likes that Stefanski offense that they're running with the new offensive coordinator. He's been playing better against the better teams. The Vikings running game is definitely good enough to slow down that Chargers pass rush a little bit, give Cousins a little bit more time to operate. And also, too, you know, both of these teams did have late bye weeks, but I think the Vikings having a late bye helps them here because 2 weeks ago they played in Seattle in that Monday Night Football game where I needed that game for a 5-0, and unfortunately Minnesota didn't come through. But if they had their bye in week 4 or week 5, something like that, and they were going back out west for the second time in 3 weeks, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But because they had a late bye week, I'm not necessarily worried about it here. I think you're getting the better team at a reasonable price with the Chargers maybe a little bit inflated off of that blowout victory. And that game last week said a lot more about the Jaguars than it did about the Chargers. Jacksonville has completely, they've quit on the season. They've unequivocally quit on the season, on Doug Marrone. The Chargers took advantage, and credit to them for that. They've played like a team that's better than their record. But I still think that this weekend's game falls in the purview of the Vikings. They need it more. They're going to want it more. And again, there's no home field advantage for the Chargers, who may feel slighted, to be totally honest with you, when they play at home. So Vikings, number 29 in the Super Contest rotation order, minus 2.5 on my card here this week to go along with Falcons plus 10.5 and Bears plus 4. We take a look here at some leans for this week here. And again, as you know, got to come up with 5 plays here for the cards. So my 5 plays likely to come from those 3 picks and a couple of these leans here. Number 3, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a 3-point favorite against the Detroit Lions. And I told myself I wasn't going to back Jameis Winston. I swore on this show that I wouldn't back Jameis Winston again. So, of course, in true Adam Burke fashion, I'll consider doing it while I'm paying a premium now. with the Buccaneers laying a field goal on the road in Detroit. A few things about this game. First, it would be a pick if Jameis Winston was healthy. Jameis Winston dealing with a thumb injury, not gripping a football in practice this week, obviously had a phenomenal game last week against Indianapolis, throwing for well over 450 yards. Now, of course, he did have the interceptions, and you know that's just what Jameis Winston is, but did what he needed to do in order to get his team that victory. If I knew he was going to be good to go, this would be in the picks category. And again, I've got some time to wait on this between the time I submit my picks and the time I record this segment. Mike Evans being out is not great. This is a game where they could have very much used Mike Evans to the point where Mike Evans could have had a monster day. Because the Lions, ever since they traded Quandre Diggs to Seattle, they are 1-6 straight up. They are 31st in passer rating allowed per Bill Barnwell. 31st in passer rating allowed since they traded Quandre Diggs, who, by the way, has been excellent for the Seattle Seahawks here since that transaction happened. The Lions were not thrilled about it at all, and they're playing like a team right now that's not thrilled about it. They've lost 6 straight, 9 of 10. They're a mess. They've given up the most air yards on defense so far this season. Obviously, that's something that helps a guy like Jameis Winston. On the whole, Detroit has 5 interceptions on the season. That's it. 5 interceptions in 13 games. So they don't force a lot of turnovers. They don't force a lot of takeaways. What do we know about Jameis Winston? Well, that's obviously his Achilles heel, is throwing those picks. But the Lions, they're not a ball-hawking defense. They're not a turnover-creating defense. In fact, they give up a lot of yardage in the passing game. Offensively, they're not great if they get into a shootout here in this one with the Buccaneers. And Tampa Bay has the ability to turn every game into a shootout. If Jameis Winston is not able to go, preseason superstar Ryan Griffin would come in. I don't know if I could take Tampa Bay at that point in time. Probably not at the -3. But if I get some positive reports on Jameis on Friday and on into Saturday morning, if you know that's the case, Tampa Bay will be on my card. The Lions have nothing to play for. They're still kind of competitive, but this is a game where the matchup can really hurt them because Tampa Bay can throw the ball vertical better than most of the teams that the Lions have played, and they've still had all sorts of defensive concerns and problems. So Tampa Bay -3, and they're -3.5 over in the Circa Million, so I'm less enthused about it there. But -3 here in the Super Contest on my list of leans, and if I find out tomorrow, on Friday, today, while you're listening to the segment, if I find out that Jameis Winston is going to go, this one will end up making its way onto my card here for week 15. Number 13, the Seattle Seahawks, -6.5. They travel cross country to take on the Carolina Panthers. And this isn't a buy of the Seahawks. This is just a fade of the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Panthers, they've not shown up in weeks. Do we have any reason to believe that they show up here this week? I don't think so. And when you look at this game here, I just talked about the importance of turnovers in that Tampa Bay-Detroit game. Seattle has 29 takeaways. That's 3rd in the NFL. And again, their defense has been creating more of those turnovers since they acquired Quandre Diggs. The Panthers, 26 turnovers. That's the 3rd most in the NFL. So we're probably looking at a spot here where Seattle winds up with a couple of extra possessions. And if that's the case, even though I don't love Seattle, I don't love their offense, I don't love a lot of things about this team, you give any team in the NFL extra possessions, they've got a good chance at making them perfect. Kyle Allen has really regressed. Seattle's defense, while the yards per play metrics and all that aren't great, they force turnovers. They can get some of those short fields. And last week's loss, in ugly fashion, gives the Seahawks more reason to care about this game because they still have some division games left on the card. And now they've got to go out there and win this game. They can't sleepwalk through this early start going cross country. So that extra bit of incentive is a good thing for Seattle backers here in this one. Again, 6.5, big number to lay on the road, but it's probably deserved with what we've seen from Carolina here over the last several weeks, really. So number 13, the Seahawks, -6.5 on my list of leans here for this week. Next up on my list of leans here, number 19, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're -2.5, hosting the Buffalo Bills. I talked about this already. This feels like a spot where the Westgate shaded this line with the expectation of sharp money coming in on Pittsburgh. It's hard to disagree with that. The Steelers feel like the right side. Again, it hasn't come in yet. Would be a little bit of a reverse line movement if it did, because the Bills are the consensus side right now. The Bills are not a team that sharp money likes. You know, they've played a weak schedule. They've got maybe some misleading statistics here for the year. I give them credit. You know, they're winning games. They're doing a fine job of doing that. But this Steelers team, I mean, they've really rallied together. You know, and I'm not one for the intangibles, the unquantifiable stuff when you talk about, you know, a league where the margins are as thin as they are in the NFL. But this is a team that really came together through the injuries, the Ben Roethlisberger injury early on, the quarterback switch from Mason Rudolph to Devlin Hodges. They've had a lot of reasons to not be fully engaged, not be fully invested. And there they are with a chance to be the first wild card. And they would put themselves in a good position for that if they're able to beat the Bills this week. Steelers, phenomenal pass rush. Bills, look ahead to the Patriots game. And real quietly, I don't know if you've noticed this, the Steelers all of a sudden with the most takeaways in the NFL. The Patriots have started to play some better competition. They've fallen off a little bit in that department. The Steelers now with the most takeaways in the NFL. So what does that mean? Again, could mean extra possessions. Those are very important in the NFL. Could mean shorter fields against a very difficult Bills defense. Regular season home finale for the Steelers. Bills have that look-ahead spot to the Patriots game. Pittsburgh is coming back off the Arizona game, which is a little bit difficult. But again, I think this team just has this common sense of belief. No matter who's at quarterback, no matter what, they've found ways to win games. They've found ways to overcome these injuries. I think they have the opportunity to do that here again this week. So the Steelers, -2.5, number 19 in the Super Grandis rotation order on my short list of leans here for this week. Finally, one more, and this team burned me last week, but do we really expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to show up traveling cross country to take on the Oakland Raiders? Raiders -6.5 here. This would be a straight fade of Jacksonville and a bye on the situation for Oakland playing the last home game there in the black hole. Obviously, this is already priced into the line. Oakland, it's a very hard sell to say that they're almost a touchdown better than anybody. But I just don't think Jacksonville shows up here. They've quit on Doug Marrone. They've quit on the season. They didn't even get a lift from Gardner Minshew last week. I don't think they show up. So this is one. This would be a fallback option to me based on the injury reports and some of the other stuff that's out there. But the Raiders -6.5. I mean, if they're going to show up for a game, it's got to be this one. And I don't think Jacksonville's going to show up for any game the rest of the way. So that's kind of my thought process there in terms of that one. So for week 15 here, looking at my very likely picks as the Chicago Bears +4, Atlanta Falcons +10.5, Minnesota Vikings -2.5, then my short list of leans here, Buccaneers -3, Seahawks -6.5, Steelers -2.5, then the Raiders -6.5. So on Saturday over at bangthebook.com, we'll have our full cards. We'll give you the pick counts and the consensus for week 15 in the Super Contest, as well as the same thing over in the Circa Million with our picks, the pick counts, and the consensus for the first year of that contest here in week 15.